You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. If you gamble, use your game sense. Visit GameSenseAB.ca to find out more. Rupper, how you doing?
I'm doing well, fellas. How are you guys?
That should be your bio. 3 points, game seven. Boom. That's it. Nothing else.
I should. I should just get rid of all the other stuff. But then no one will follow me because they'll be like, who's this tool?
It's 3 points. They'll look you up, though. It's intriguing.
That's true.
Every time now, Rupper, when I see the Pittsburgh Penguins, I just laugh at the story of Dan Bylsma. But, you know, you were in Pittsburgh, and there was Crosby, and then there's Malkin. And, like, Malkin won a heart. And, like, you know, he was unreal the year they won their first Stanley Cup. He of course, led them in scoring with 36 points that postseason. He's won an Art Ross. Now you kind of, you know, the comparisons between Draisaitl and Malkin are there. How close were Malkin and Crosby at their peak in your eyes?
It's very close. It's very close. And, you know, what's fun is, and I don't know if you guys have been asked this already, but it's inevitable. It'll happen at some point where people will start asking at some point, who's better? Who's better? I mean, that's how close it is, right? Who's better between Crosby and Malkin was what I was always asked. And it was an interesting answer that a lot of us, I think, would give is that what I would say is that, you know, they're obviously both great. If you're talking about which player I want the puck on his stick in the closing minute of a game seven, that's Evgeny Malkin, because he can single-handedly take over a game in his heyday, manhandle guys, go to the net. He had that strength and a one-on-one ability to just take over. Right, but if you're talking over the course of 82 and to build a franchise around, that's Sidney Crosby. So I don't know how it is with you guys there, but from an outsider, you know, with me kind of seeing them not as much as you guys, I think you could argue that maybe. I mean, Leon's got that size, he's got that great shot, he's a great passer also. I wonder if in the closing seconds of a game seven, would you rather the puck be on Leon's stick? Because he can kind of do some physical things, maybe Connor can't, but then Connor's got that speed that he can do that nobody else can do. I don't know. That's the tricky part. But, yeah, there's a lot of similarities between the both powerful duos, and it's fun to watch.
What about Chris the Tang? You know, he's obviously, you know, it was kind of those two guys you mentioned, the Flower, and then Chris the Tang was there as well. But do you think he gets his due for the career he's had?
No, he doesn't. He never gets enough love. And this is a guy, and I've said it till I'm blue in the face, or I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. This is a guy that he plays the game differently. And what I mean by that is, like, I remember my first practice with the Penguins, and we were doing these kind of quick up drills where we're kind of posting up in the neutral zone as a winger. We're just trying to go DDD up ice real quick. And Tanger was like, I'm sitting just outside my own blue line posting up, and the puck comes up the boards, and he's on the other, he's, you know, playing the other team, and he's standing right there and pokes the puck away. And I remember I looked at him, and I slashed him across the back of his legs. I go, what are you doing? And he goes, what do you mean? I go, you know what we're doing. You're like, you know what I mean? Like, you know what the drill is. Like, we're going D to D up this side. Like, you know what we're doing. I'm like, and he was kind of, you know, we're kind of mouthing off to each other, and I'm like, doing the game. And he goes, I do. And I'm like, okay. And I start watching. He does. Like, I'm like, he wasn't lying. So this guy, like, so when you watch Chris Letang, and you guys watch the game in this one, he does things that are just so unique. He's squashing plays. Strutty, you have a big appreciation for this on the back end. It's like he squashes plays in the neutral zone, the offensive blue line for him. He's squashing plays, sitting in on wingers on the breakout. And he does it in a manner where nothing needs to be said. His body language with whoever he's creeping up on in the neutral zone is basically, I'll stop here, hang out with you, deny this pass from you, because I know that if there's a bad bounce, the puck gets by us, there's no chance you're beating me back to my post. And that's how good of a skater he is. And he's been like that. And I think the last 2 years has been his best 2 years of his career. And he gets asked to do things that not many defensemen over the course of their career, I mean, in Duncan Keith's heyday, yes. Drew Doughty's heyday, yes. He gets asked to be the best defensive defenseman on his team and offensive defenseman. There's a lot of great players in this league and defensemen that don't have to do that, right? Like, you know, you start thinking that even some of the young kids now, like Cale Makar doesn't have – he's not asked to be the best defensive guy, the shutdown guy. Not yet, he's not. You know, and Adam Fox isn't that. I don't know if he'll ever be that. You know what I mean? But he's really extreme on the offensive side. Chris Letang is he's been a real nice pleasure to watch over the course of his career, and he doesn't look like he's slowing down.
Mike Rupp joins us on Edmonton Sports Theater, TSN 1260. Mike, it's a team I'm sure that you see quite often at the NHL Network, and I understand they had a tough schedule. I understand that they got hit hard by COVID, but they lost eight straight, and they're in a pretty deep hole. And now, because of those canceled games, not only are they going to try to play catch up in the standings, they're going to have to do it, in a shorter period of time with games condensed in a short schedule. Like the New York Islanders, I know it's only December 1st, but I'm saying they're done. I can't see how they're going to recover and pass when they're already 12 points back.
There's a couple things here that I think, and I agree with you. Like, if it's every point that's given up right now from the Islanders is just another nail in the coffin for this team. And it's unfortunate. They can't control a lot of those things as far as COVID, the injuries they've had. But that's just the nature. I mean, you got to deal with it. Other teams have to deal with it as well if they get caught in that predicament. But this is a team that even if, let's just say they even get on a heater, okay, they need help. Like, there's nothing in control of anything. They have some games in hand, but they're really far out right now. So, I mean, even if this team wins 9 of their next 10, like, you're going to have to hope that teams like New Jersey, Columbus, who are playing kind of better than a lot of people expected. I mean, the Washington Capitals might be the biggest surprise for me in this season. You know what I mean? It's like this team is like looks fantastic, and I didn't think they were going to be that. The New York Rangers. I mean, you need help from other teams. So, is there a team that can get on a run? It can be them, but they need help too, and that's not a good feeling to have as a player to know that you don't have much in your control. I guess you can take care of what you can, and that's your points. And the other thing is, this team's not the same since they've lost Devon Taves and Nick Leddy. Like, their decor is a little bit slower now. I mean, they've got Zdeno Chara there now, Andy Green, who have had great careers, but this decor looks slow. They don't look like they can keep up, and they're starting to be kind of taken advantage of. So I don't know. If they're not done now, they're not far from it. So they got to start stringing together some games.
Talking with a longtime NHLer, Michael Rupp, joined us from NHL Network. Rupper, you know, Matt Murray's situation in Ottawa is an interesting one, and you know, it's not that long ago they signed to the extension, or this the trade for him signed to the extension, and from a distance it feels like they're turning on him pretty quick. I know the situation, the way he's played, but there's been some other situations around that I think is a little unfair. What do you see with Matt Murray and how this relationship seems to have turned sour in what is it 18 months or so?
Yeah, I'll date back to when that was going on with Matt Murray in Pittsburgh, and he was playing outstanding. And we know Marc-Andre Fleury wasn't playing in the playoffs. I remember, for an example, I went down as actually Chris Letang. It was coming into the playoffs. I think it was the first year. And I said to Tanger, I said, hey, what's going on here? Why? Like, come on, like Flower's going to get the cage back, right? And he kind of like, I don't know. And I'm like, I mean, this kid's not that good, is he? Like, it's Flower. Like, come on, you guys can't win a cup without Flower. And Letang didn't say anything overly to me. He just said, the kid's really good, Rupper. He's really good. And I was like, okay, that's all I need to know. Like, it's not like we're, you know, you could hear this controversy that's kind of outside the room that they're making. They players knew that this guy's good. And so I don't think it's a fluke what he did early on in his career. He had those two cups in what was still, quote-unquote, his rookie year. I also think that when you're playing on a team that has structure, and that team certainly did, they won two cups in a row, it's different now when you go to a team and you're seeing different things. The shots are coming from different areas. You don't have that structure. I don't know. Maybe the contract got good to him. I don't know. I don't know Matt Murray. But what I do know, it's a much harder I came up in an organization in New Jersey where there was structure. I was insulated. It gave me a chance to succeed. If I came up in the wrong organization, who knows if I ever would have played in the league. You know what I mean? So I think that has something to do with it. If Matt Murray finds the right place, I think he can thrive and get back to that Matt Murray. I do think they turned a little quick on him because this is a team that they're very early in this process of building something, and you can't really expect your goalie to come in there and just absolutely be lights out in the get-go. So I don't know if there's something else that happened there, but I thought it was a little early to turn on Matt Murray.
Mike Rupp joins us on Edmonton Sports Theater, TSN 1260. Rupper, the NHL, you know, at times I'm not sure they do a great job of marquee matchups. Obviously, you've got Crosby and McDavid tonight, and that's national on TNT, so that's good. You also, though, have an absolute clash of two teams that are just crushing it right now tonight, Toronto and Colorado, and it gets even spicier because Nathan MacKinnon gets back in the lineup tonight. Which of those two teams do you like better, Toronto or Colorado?
Yeah, no, hey, just one little complaint from me on the first part is you got finally the rights holders in the United States, as far as the league is concerned, is putting Canadian teams on our nationally televised game of the week, which is TNT tonight. And there was not too long ago, that wasn't the case. They didn't want to put a Canadian market on because they weren't going to get those eyes from the home market, right? And I think now we're finally starting to get to the point. Connor's got to be on. Yeah, there should be so many Oiler and Leafs games on in the States. There's just still not enough. There's never going to be enough. The only other complaint I have is, and I don't know, maybe you guys beg to differ, why is it starting at 10 o'clock in the States here on East Coast time? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, let's get this thing. Let's bump it 6 o'clock your time, put it on here at a reasonable time. Let's get some eyes on Connor McDavid, Sidney Crosby. This isn't going to be around forever. That's my first beef. But the other part with the game with in Toronto, it's a great matchup. I think it's the two teams that are just going to be trying to flex their muscles. Toronto's been absolutely on fire. And now you've got Colorado's done a really good job without Nathan MacKinnon. Like, they've kept their team in the mix, and now they're getting Nate the Great back. This is a huge matchup. Those two games, I mean, maybe that's good, right? So maybe they wanted to stagger those games because they knew they were going to be watching the Toronto and Colorado ones. So they wanted to have the Edmonton Pittsburgh one a little bit later.
Yeah, I know they go with the double dip, and I understand it. But, yeah, like, Edmontonians don't like the 8 o'clock start. Never mind 10 o'clock in the East, so I get that one for sure. I don't know how they solve that issue, but it would be something to start the call. Like, the early game started at 7 Eastern, so you can start at 9:30 or 9:45. Like, you know, every little bit. Because we both know that it says 10 o'clock. Sadly, this isn't the NFL. The game's not starting till like 10:10. Which is even worse.
No, so, you know what? And what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong with the league just saying, "Hey, Edmonton, you guys, guess what? You have no choice in saying this. This game is starting at X time because we've got to show people in the States Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. Like, they're not shown enough. They could be on 4 nights a week in the States, and it's not enough. And they're certainly not that. So, you know, I think that would be big for the game of hockey to get more eyes on those guys.
I love it, Rupper. You won't get much of an argument from me. And I know that the odd early game, but, you know, if it's 5 of them a year out of 82, I think Oilers fans would be okay with it. So appreciate your time, Rupper. Have a good one.
Awesome, guys. Enjoy.